You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
I look around the room and my young people are having babies. You're going to have to fix that ring because it's going to get worse if I raise my voice. My young people are having babies. And I'm going to do my best to speak real quiet. We got it? Okay. I'm going to do my best to paint you a backdrop this morning. How many understand that when you're trying to do right for the Lord, everything always goes wrong? I'm in a feeling of wrong this morning. I'm going to parallel two stories. I first of all want to tell you what Jesus did. He very wisely and divinely tied worship with salvation. He said, "We know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Isn't it strange that worship has something to do with getting saved? You would think we might have just said, well, you don't know what you worship, and the worship would be okay, and we'll just move on with a little bit of worship and a little bit of praise. But instead, he says salvation is of the Jews. So apparently, salvation and worship are tied together. He said, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers," here's another one, apparently there are false worshipers, "shall worship the Father." Now, he's just given you another revelation. She referred to God, but he took God out of the generic form and he made him the family's father. Jesus did. "In spirit and in truth," he said, "for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In Psalms 150 and 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord." Now, I know you're worried about them babies crying, but you should praise ye the Lord. Because there are babies that can't let out a praise to the Lord. They can't let out a cry for their mama, but your babies are blessed. So I'm going to say one more time, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for according to his excellent greatness. Amen. And if you can't praise him, I'm going to tell you right now that this is a death knell to the church, because you can't say you got the Holy Spirit and not praise him in his sanctuary. Now, I got to get you here so I can get you there. The New Testament, the Bible says that you are the place. You are the person. You are the sanctuary. Praise him in the sanctuary. You are the sanctuary. Are you following me? That's why you can praise and worship anywhere you go, because you're the sanctuary. I'm going to talk to some people that are awake. The rest of you just sit there and act like God's not moving. Just look straight ahead like I'm not talking to you. But the people that are with me, say, praise ye the Lord. Yeah, because I am the sanctuary of God. So I can praise him when I'm on the mountain, and I can praise him when I'm in the valley. I can praise him when the enemy's coming against me, and I can praise him when I'm standing in the presence of God. Praise ye the Lord. That's why a lot of people can't praise him. Why a lot of people can't worship. Because they don't understand that they are the sanctuary. 1 Samuel 1 and 2. "And it came to pass as she continued," or 1:12, "and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she was drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, count not thine handmaiden before the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of the complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. I have poured out my soul before the Lord, she said. I have come with brokenness that you don't understand. You know, sometimes the pastor don't understand. Sometimes the preacher just can't get it. But here's the thing. She charted her course, and her course was with the Lord. And she was going to worship him no matter what trouble. She was going to worship him no matter the issue. She was going to worship him in the midst of the circumstance. She may not praise like everybody else, but she was going to crawl to the altar of God and whisper until God moved. So listen, no, we're all pitter-patter today, but we need the Lord to move. There are people sitting in this congregation this morning that needs God to move. They need a miracle in their life. Here's what I want you to understand is worship brings miracles. Worship brings revelation. Worship will bring the power of God to you. She said, I'm still doing my best to worship. I'm in the house. I'm at the altar. And I'm not at a place where I can lift my hands. But I've dedicated my heart to the Lord. Listen, church. Sometimes we can't praise like what I'm talking about, you know? But you still, in your heart, need to utter words to the Lord. He needs to know that he's your frontline service. He needs to know that he's first in your life. He needs to know that, listen, you're on his side even when it doesn't look like what he told you is going to happen. Amen. I'm still going. I'm trying to get you there. When we get together in corporate praise and thanksgiving and worship, It should be so powerful that the ungodly sinner and the scorner and the complainer cannot just sit there. Why? Because a bunch of sanctuaries got together to praise. This is the auditorium of God. This is where you praise. This is where you worship. This is where you lift him up. This is where you praise him without wrath and doubt. Hallelujah. Listen, when you walk out of here, you're going to have a little bit of wrath. And when you walk out of here, you're going to get into a little doubt. But this is the place where we get powered up and connected to Jesus. Praise ye the Lord. The sinner should have to testify because a few hundred sanctuaries got together and combined their praise in an auditorium. Worship is a free flow. It's not a set of steps. See, I want you to come, and I want to give you an understanding. You got to take off your Western glasses for a moment. Everything in the culture of the day was a ceremony. Eli was used to ceremony, but Hannah didn't have time for the ceremony. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord. Hannah didn't have time for the ceremony. She didn't have time for all the stuff that people wanted to do. She didn't have time to go into the confession box and say, Lord, I'm having a problem. And Eli was sitting there, I'm going to tell you, because he was fat, he was weak, and he was old. He wasn't doing what God told him. So he sat there, and he had something to say about the woman of God because he didn't have the spirit resonant in his life. And all she could do is crawl. Listen, sometimes when the enemy comes against you, if you read verse 1 through 3, her enemy had come against her and she had poured out her soul because she didn't have what she wanted. Sometimes you don't get what you think you need, but I want you to understand that God is right there with you. When you feel all alone, he's walking with you. When you feel all by yourself, come on, church people. Listen, I want you to understand when you leave this place today that you serve a God that is bigger than your problem. You serve a God that is bigger than your issue. Oh my God. Listen, some of you may be going to the doctor tomorrow, but I declare in the name of Jesus, through the power of God, that he's going to take care of you. C.S. Lewis advised us many years ago. He said, stop counting steps, because when you count steps, there's no flow. But you ever notice the church? We're constantly counting steps. Well, let me see. I've got through the Lord's Prayer. I've done this. I've supported the church, and I'm thankful. And I've done this, and I put a petition out before the Lord. Then I think there's this worship thing. Listen, you're not doing any damage to the enemy, because all you're doing is counting steps. Well, I prayed a little. Well, I got God to move a little bit. Well, I know that God, I read my Bible today, and I think I'm going to fast my lunch, a little Facebook, you know, and then I might do Twitter if God does something there, and I'm fasting Twitter. You know, it's funny that you got to talk to 40-year-old people about Twitter and TikTok and Facebook and all that stuff, and now instead of fasting like the Word of God said, we've decided to fast however we want. I got people that are 50 years old coming to me and say, Pastor, you don't have to worry about our fast. I'm going to fast Twitter. Well, I want to say, well, give me your phone. I want all your TVs. I want your computer. I want it all. Then you can really fast something. But that's not what God said. Because a fast is a getting rid of the problems in your soul. You understand what I'm saying? It's getting rid of the issues that you have. But I need you to get a hold of something. God wants to move even when all you can do is whisper. Lord, help me. Verse 17. Eli answered her and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee that petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. This is Student Sunday. So I'm going to stick with Elkanah knew Hannah as his wife. You catching on? Let's try one more time for all of you that are slow. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I'm going to tell you this way. The Lord remembered he had shut up her womb. The Lord remembered that there was something inside of her that he had to open up. And listen, her praise wasn't like everybody else's praise, but she still had praise on her lips. Her heart poured out to the Lord. There's some church people that need to pour out their heart to the Lord. They need to say, God, I'm in the midst of the struggle. Listen, the situation has overwhelmed me. I don't know what to do. I can't go over it, and I can't go under it. Lord, I've checked to see if I can go around it, and I'm not able. So God, I'm crawling to you right now for a praise that'll come out of my lips, for a whisper. That's all I got. But Lord, I know even in the whisper, hallelujah, you're going to touch me. Worship can't be staged. It should be spontaneous. Love from the heart. Here's a single verse that gives you great understanding. Psalms 152 and 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, one verse gives us an aspect of both praise and worship. The first part is nothing but praise. Praise him for his mighty acts. Bless and magnify God for what he's done. But you go on. And you got to bless God for who he is. Amen. For his excellent greatness. That's why worship is more difficult than praise. Praise is easier to do because you're aware that something has happened in your life. So it's easy to praise because you can see it. But worship is expressed. Worship is something that you feel. Worship is something that you got to get outside of you. Worship is something that is pure and holy before the Lord. Worship is the power of God touching you. Worship is when you don't know what to do, you call on the Lord anyway. Now Hannah, verse 13, spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Oh, Lord. Last time I was with you, I established that God is looking for worshipers, and the church is looking for workers. The problem is not worship. The problem is the object of worship. That's the battle today. That's the target of worship. If your object is wrong, your outcome is wrong. Now I'm going to tell you again. If your object is wrong, if you're worshiping the wrong thing, amen, your outcome is wrong. Hannah got the outcome because her heart was prepared for worship and she was looking for God. Now watch. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because he diverted praising and adoring and magnifying from God to himself. His object was wrong. Then he became a god unto himself. But God does not share his glory with anyone, including Lucifer. So he was kicked out of heaven. Then God started the human race with Adam. God now has one pure worshiper. Worship is no more or less adoration and love towards deity. It's a love that expresses in multiple ways how that you have a true understanding of who God. I'm going to tell you again. Love expresses in multiple ways how that you have a true understanding of who God is. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, if a man tells his wife that he loves her, but he never hugs her or kisses her, he never buys her anything, he never makes any loving gesture, then that lady's really not going to believe that he loves her, I hope. And how can a man go catting around, messing around with another woman, then come home and say, honey, I really love you? That guy needs to be off whatever whiskey he's on. Because he's telling a barefaced lie and she's swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. If there's no affection, she's not going to buy it very long, maybe 6 to 10 times. Because women are forgiving. That's how God made them to be. But I've never understood how a married man can brutalize his wife, manhandle her, slap her around, throw her against the wall, and then say after it's all over, I really love you, honey. I really find that hard to believe. What kind of love is that? Love must be expressed. And if love is expressed, if it's not expressed, it becomes stagnant, it dies, it becomes an issue and a problem inside, and it becomes less pure than love. Then we start to learn or lean on our own flesh. Now Adam, God gets himself a true worshiper with Adam. One thing we need to understand about Adam is that, this will help us with God as well. We're not just praising him. We have to understand that Adam praised him without the absence of guilt, shame, fear, and condemnation. As long as you constantly feel guilty, you will not praise. As long as you constantly feel like you're ashamed, you will not praise. As long as you feel fearful, you will not praise. As long as you feel condemned, you will not praise. But we've got a church full of people, not this church. You guys are great. that want to rain condemnation down on everybody because they think that if they rain condemnation down on everybody, that they're going to get more people in the house of God. But people have turned themselves away from the house of God because it's not your job to condemn. It's not your job to shame. It's not your job to show them guilty. God will do that for you, because if God puts the guilt on them, he'll leave it on them until they turn their voice to God and pray. And so a lot of times we don't worship because we're afraid and we're uncomfortable around God. We're disloyal and we're divided in our allegiance. And so we can't express pure love. Now watch. Adam started out with a pure allegiance to God, but his object changed. Hannah started from her heart and poured out her allegiance to God. That's what worship is all about, an expression of love to love. Remember the word last week, worship, comes from the English word worship. It has to do with how worthy God is according to your concept. If you're a lousy worshiper, it's either you're ignorant about how to worship or God's not worth it. So Adam was a worshiper, and he loved worship, and he enjoyed worship, and there was no guilt, and there was no shame, and his heart was changed by the power of God. God was in him, but all of a sudden, he got his object of worship, and he changed it. He took it from God to me. And when you take your object of worship from God to look at me, you're in trouble. Amen. Hannah was a worshiper. She started with her heart, and she poured out her praise. She had trouble. She had stammering lips. She spoke even when her voice shook, but she worshiped anyway. Worship is not the whole issue. The object of worship is the whole issue. Let me ask you a question. Do you worship what's holy? Abraham was called out of the Ur of Chaldees and the promised land of Canaan. And to his surprise, I would assume, he found the land to be dotted and shrined with temples and altars and types of worship. But God is not looking for just any kind of worship, church. There have always been worshipers. He's looking for a special brand of people. One who will worship in spirit and in truth. One that makes him the focus of their affection, the focus of their attention, the object of their emotion. God is looking for worshipers that are the centerpiece, or he's the centerpiece of their whole life. Abraham arrives and he finds worshipers. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, people worshiped. We all worship something. You can come and lie to me and say, well, I don't worship anything. But I'm telling you, everybody worships something. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Because the Bible says God made you to worship. You may not serve him. You may not know him. You may not even want anything to do with him. But you still worship something. The Egyptians, in Genesis 13, worshipped. The Canaanites worshipped Ashtaroth and Baal. The pagans worshipped. But God wants true worship. Amen. Who do you worship? Watch this, it's Dedication Sunday. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived. Now watch this. I don't have a lot of time. I can see you all. You're getting tired and weary. And you're starting to look around and talk and play with the babies and give candy out. So I don't have a lot of time, and I know it. But I want you to understand something. Peninnah came against her. Peninnah was her enemy. But God had shut up her womb. Sometimes God is going to shut some things up in your life to see if you'll press in to see what he'll give you. Sometimes, I know church today is pancakes and popcorn and everything sweet and exciting and a little strawberry drizzle and give me some whipped cream and I'm done with church today and I'm on a Facebook and I'm going to go home with the family and do all those things. We don't come to church like that here. So I want you to understand something. Sometimes God will put your enemy right in front of you to see how you're going to respond. What do you worship? When Hannah poured out her praise before the Lord, the Bible said that everything come to pass. Sometimes you got to worship God when what you see does not agree with what he told you. Sometimes you got to worship God when you're getting beat to death from every angle of hell and you don't know what to do. I'm going to praise him anyway. Listen, she couldn't lift up her hands anymore. Listen, the devil wants to push you down. He wants to keep you broken. He wants to keep the lights out. But what if the church of God would flip the script and say, I'm going to praise in my struggle. I'm going to praise in the problem. I'm going to praise and the adversity. Come on, older saints. You've been there. You know that the adversity comes. You know that the enemy is after you. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up for an offering unto the Lord. The yearly sacrifice and his vow. Now catch this. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I'll bring him. That he may appear before the Lord. And there abide. What's the word? When church is the center focus of your children, they will grow up to understand how important the house of God is. When everything else is your center focus, they will grow up to realize everything else is important. Well, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to tell me. I know how today's society works. Really, you don't. I wouldn't say that if I didn't know how it worked. But I want you to understand something. Hannah put a great premium on God. And when Hannah put a great premium on God, he blessed her with the thing she wanted the most, a man child. Now watch. But Hannah went not up until the child was weaned. Do you know why? She didn't want people sticking her fingers in what God had given her and messing it up. So she was going to train him to worship. She was going to train him to praise. She was going to train him to magnify God. And she didn't want anybody saying, well, you don't have to do that. Well, you don't have to praise like that. Oh, you don't have to worship like that. So she wasn't going to let anybody influence him. She said, I'm going to keep him right here in this home where I know what he's being taught. I know what he'll understand. And what he doesn't understand, I'll reteach him. Because God gave me this gift. And because God gave me this gift, I'm going to treasure it. And I'm going to stand by it. And I'm not going to let anybody taint it. We just reviewed this material, and it's easy to forget, but Jesus told the woman at the well, right to her face. He said, I know you're a worshiper. She was a heathen. She was a half-breed. She was a mix between a Gentile and a Jew. She was a Samaritan. She had 5 husbands. She was shacking up with any man that came by, but she was a worshiper. Worship doesn't mean you got everything in your life right. It has to do with changing the object of your worship. Sometimes we worship and the object of our worship is not holy. Sometimes we worship and the object of our worship is unholy. But if you understand and God comes down, because God will come down and you will collide with who he is if he understands that you're a worshiper. I said several weeks ago, I don't want God to look in me and pass me. I want him to look in me and say, I can use that. Lord, help me. It may have been in you when you started, but you've fallen back. Maybe you had light and truth and you were exposed to the presence of God and you started out good. The Bible says you started out your race good, but you've fallen back. You've got things mixed up. You've let the world in. And God's calling you home. He's calling every race, every creed, and every person back to the house of God. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you worship. I don't care who you think you are. God is calling you back to his house because he's going to do something. I got to hurry. Worship is a gift from God. It's intimate. It's our nature. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. Did you catch it? The father said, I'm not going to let anybody else talk to him either. It's only going to be the Lord that speaks. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. We are creatures made to worship, church. Because God gave her a child, she wanted to make sure everything was right. When Adam sinned, he lost his spiritual direction. He forfeited his conscience or his God conscience. Now watch this, because you're not going to catch anything I said if you don't get this. When Adam sinned, he forfeited his God conscience. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And with him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. This life from God enlightens the God conscience in men. When God breathed into Adam, God gave him a God conscience. Now watch, so he could reciprocate with expression, praise, adoration, worship the goodness of God. When you get saved, God gives you a God conscience that you already had when you were born. See, some people are just innate evil, you think. But that's not true. God gave everybody a conscience. He also gave everybody a little bit of faith. Adam knew nothing but how great and awesome God was. And so he focused on God. The only way that the devil could get to him is to help Adam lose his focus and run from God. And that causes humanism. That's where humanism started. Adam exalted himself above the Lord because Satan exalted himself above the Lord. That's the only trick he has. Now, 6,000 years later, they're acting like humanism is brand new. Well, Pastor, I don't know what humanism is. I'm my own God. Are you your own God? I mean, really, you're your own God? You must be kidding. Because you can't even get over the flu without God. Amen. So much for you being a God. Hannah has a different spin on things. Because she worships with a purpose. She worships with her heart. And her heart called up to what God wanted to do in her life. Because she worshiped. Verse 24. You got 5 more minutes? And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him." Verse 28, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." The word lent means given unto. "I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, shall he be lent," or "shall he be given unto the Lord in his worship." And he worshiped the Lord there. Now catch it. Hannah, this is dedication Sunday. She dedicates her prayer life. She dedicates her worship. She dedicates her praise to the Lord. And then she dedicated her life. She dedicated her heart. Then she got a son that she dedicated to the Lord. Because worshipers always give back what is given to them. Now I told you, worshipers have a revelation, because you can't praise without revelation. And they worship because of revelation. This is also why they give back. You cannot worship God without a revelation, church. But when you get the revelation, you realize that you can never give enough back to God. I worship when I can barely speak. I worship when all of my things don't matter. Let's just talk. Because there's times in life where maybe someone has passed away, or something has happened, or you've had problems aplenty and you don't know what to do, and your stuff don't matter. You can have a $2 million Ferrari sitting in the yard and it don't matter. You can have the finest house money can buy and it don't matter. But here's what I want you to understand. When you're down to nothing, God speaks into your life. And even though you're messed up, and even though that you feel like you've been beat down, God is still there. And although you can't hear him, and although you can't hear him speak sometimes, and you wonder what he's saying, he shows up in little ways to speak to you so that you don't keep yourself in trouble. Amen. Because stuff don't really matter. Does it matter? We think it does. We'll work ourselves to death to have what the next door neighbor has. But what matters is the people in your household. What matters is your children. What matters is that you rear them up in the eyes of God. What matters is they understand truth. What matters is they're not religious, but they are worshipers, and they have a heart turned to God. And the only way they can get that is by seeing what you do. I'm going to tell you something. Your children do not listen to what you say. They mimic what you do. Amen. If you read books, your children will read books. My mom bought Luke a book the other day, and he said, "I don't read." Now, I read all the time, but I've never shown my children that I read. I've got 5 books going all the time. You catching it? Because he never sees me read. I don't know if his mom reads or not. Kate has a photographic memory, so she just quotes things that I can't even remember. I hate it. Because she quotes everything I do to me back to me. Verbatim. You know what verbatim is? Word for word. "Well, you said," and I say, "No, I didn't." And she'll go, "Whatever." Your children are the greatest thing in your life. They're a direct product of their environment. Whatever you do, they will come behind you and do the same thing. Everybody stand with me. We're going to pray for these children that have been dedicated, and we're going to pray for these families. But if there's anybody here today that is struggling, "God, I used to be sold out to you. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. Now's the time. Today's the day. Lord, we worship you right now. We praise and magnify you. I pray that you're...
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.